Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the lives of those who contributed to the great democratic heritage of the American Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ. Today, Destination Freedom tells the story of the great Southern educator, Mary McLeod Bethune. Later in the program, Mrs. Bethune herself will speak to you. But now, let us hear her story in a chapter titled, One Out of 17.
The year was 1935, and the new man in the White House was putting together a new deal. He was puzzled over a name the First Lady had given him. Mr. Roosevelt called an aide.
You called me, Mr. President?
Yes. What do you know of a Mary McLeod Bethune?
Bethune?
No one knows anything of her except my wife. Mrs. Roosevelt recommends that a Mrs. Mary McLeod Bethune is the one for me to appoint to help direct education in the National Youth Administration. I've got to know something about her.
Yes, sir. That should be easy to find out, sir.
Look up her record. Start from the beginning. Don't leave out anything. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. Very well, sir.
But the secretary looked in the records of Columbia, Vassar, Chicago, Ohio, and found no trace of a Bethune or a Mary McLeod. For her life had begun 60 years earlier in South Carolina, where the scars of the Civil War were still fresh and bitter, and where in the McLeod family there were 17 children. And when the sun rose in the summer, it saw 17 hands working in the cotton fields, and Farmer McLeod made 18.
Sam.
Now, Patsy, how do you expect us to get in the cotton when you're wanting something every minute?
You expect me to do the laundry and take it to the big house alone?
That's all right. Reckon we can afford to let one of the young'uns stop and take the washing up to the big house.
I hate to send them up there. The old master never forgets to take the war out on the children.
He hired us to do the washing, and we need the cash. We've got to find a way to pay for this farm.
Which child can we send?
Which? Let's see. Beauregard.
You need a big wash, Sam. One of the girls will do.
Well, send Mary. Yeah, call Mary.
Mary's such a sensitive child, Sam. The folks in the big house might say something that she won't understand.
It's time she heard it. She's the only one I can spare. Be practical, woman. Call her. She go.
Well, all right. Mary! Mary!
Yes. Oh.
Where's the colonel? Anybody to see little old me?
It's a colored girl with the wash. What'll I tell her?
Oh. Well, tell her to take it back to the kitchen.
You hear that? You know the way to the kitchen?
No, sir.
You'll pick up your feet and find it. Through those rooms down the hall. Go on.
The girl hurried through the big house, found the kitchen, dropped a bundle, and slowed down on the way back. Ogled at the chandeliers, the glassware. And in one room where all was books, she stopped, opened one, stared for a long, dreamy time at the odd language of the printed page. It was the first time she'd ever touched a book.
Put down that book.
What?
Did you hear me?
I was just...
Just what? Reading?
No. I can't read.
And you never will. Reading's not for the likes of you, and it's time you got that into your thick head.
My mother says someday I'll go to school.
School? There's no school that'll take the likes of you. Civil War made you think you were free, but books and schools are for white folks. That's not changed. Now get out. You take care of the laundry. I'll take care of the books.
Sam, I believe Mary's been crying.
hit no mind.
Sam, at least ask her what's the matter.
When a young girl who's likely seen things way out of her reach starts to cry, I ain't foolish enough to ask no questions.
Mary?
Mom? Why can't I read? Why?
There, you see? Mary, look at what it takes to live, honey. Just to live. Look at what we need to keep from going under. Look around you and see if there's even a school in Carolina that's open to colored folks. You'll see why, child. Now, come on. Hold your own row.
She held her own row. And the summer sun watched the McLeods' losing fight. But Mary had glimpsed a different sunshine. And inside, she planned for the day when she would again touch the book. The day came close when a stranger drove down to the McLeods.
Oh, ma'am. Oh, oh. How do you do, sir? Your name, McLeod?
Yeah, it is.
I'm John Simmons.
Never heard of you, thank the Lord. Good day, young man.
Oh, I don't reckon you have. My church just sent me out to this region. I'm a Presbyterian.
May God forgive you. I'm a Methodist.
I mean to say I was sent out here to start a school.
A school? A school, you say?
Well, maybe if your children would like to go.
Sure, we'd like to go.
Where's the school?
William Beauregard. Mary, be still. School. Yeah. Then who'll raise the crops? Who'll feed you? Takes every hand we got and a mule just to break even on the land. Who can afford school when there's hardly enough to live on? Now, you children, go on back to work. Go on now. Hoe your rows.
All right, Papa. All right, Papa.
Well, if that's the way you feel about it, Mr. McLeod, if you ever change your mind...
There's more than my mind that needs changing.
Well, anyway, school will be open in a week. Just 5 miles and up the hill. Think about it. Get up now. Get up.
Farmer McLeod thought about it. 17 McLeods thought about it. His wife thought about it. And from then on, there was no peace for Sam McLeod.
I tell you, Patsy, we can't do it. They're on our backs for payments on the place, and if we slip
just
up...
Just one child.
What good could education do just one child?
Maybe education will make one do something we'll all be glad for. Maybe one of them has a genius for something. Maybe one can help change things. Oh, Sam, just one.
Yeah. Then which one?
You make the choice.
Well, there's Sam, the oldest. He's always had a knack for learning things. There's Julie. She's just starting out. And there's William and Beauregard.
Farmer McLeod recounted and weighed his brood more carefully than he'd ever done before and said...
And there's Mary. Yeah. Maybe Mary.
Mary? You always said she was different from the rest.
Different? Yeah, There was something in the way she'd look when she come back from the big house that day. Lord, I hope I chose right. I can't spare but one seed and let this one bear fruit. Yeah, it'll be Mary.
In the morning, it was Mary, scrubbed and starched, who started the trek to the new school... with a caution from Farmer McLeod.
You'll be the first in the family to get inside a school. We'll handle your part of the work and make it worth our while. We're risking the farm on you. For what, I'm not sure yet.
Oh, Sam, that's too big a burden to put on the child's shoulder.
And ain't we assuming her load in the field? Go on, child. See if this risk is worth our while. Go on.
Come rain or shine, she walked the 5 miles, summer and winter, and she put the magic numbers she learned to work for the village farmers who turned from the ex-masters and came to rely on her to find the worth of their crops.
18 bales at the price of $10 per bale means they should pay you $180.
She figured the weight of cotton and corn.
At $5,
but Farmer McLeod shook his head and still wondered if he had picked the right one of his 17. And one night the candlelight woke him. and he looked over her shoulder.
Setting up again, huh?
I was figuring the cost of seed for the spring planting.
Tell me, why do you study so hard?
Teacher says one in the county may get a scholarship to Concord.
Concord?
I'll go to college, become a teacher, and then start a school where I can give back to my brothers what they gave to me. I'm always dreaming.
Dreaming. Child, God's a dreamer. Be practical like the devil. You start no school down here. We need your help on the farm. The old mule's sick and about to drop, and planting time's coming around. Put the dreams away, child.
But she kept the dreams until she had learned all the local school could teach. But when the farm mule died, dream nearly died.
I say, looky here. No use standing around looking at a dead mule. Be practical. Joe, see what the carcass will sell for. Hereafter, we'll take turns about pulling the plow. Mary, you're through with your books, honey. When your turn comes, you'll hitch yourself to the plow same as the others. The ground's got to be broke.
She put off the dream, strained in the halter to break the ground. And when the sun rose and set in the Carolina sky, it again counted 17 McClouds until the new teacher came down the hill waving papers he claimed were mightier than the plow.
Mary! Mary! Mary, look what's come for you.
Mary's busy. She's learned all she can learn in your school. Leave us alone.
Oh, but there's other schools, Mr. McCloud.
Yeah? Where?
Well, here, look where this scholarship came from in Concord. Mary won it.
Oh, the scholarship helped me break the ground and save my farm.
In a way, in the long run, it might. Look, McCloud, you spared her once and you saw what you learned. Spare her again. Plant the seed in a richer field and see what the return will be. Give one child out of 17 a chance. You're a practical man. One girl can't save the farm.
No, one girl can't save the farm. Nothing, kid. All right, she go.
And the whole county came to the station to see her go. She was the first freedman's girl to explore education outside the county. Farmer McCloud put her on the train while her brothers and sisters and friends stood quiet and watched with longing.
I don't rightfully understand about this here education. Why, some think it's more powerful than the plow, but I guess you'll find out how to use it, child.
I'll be looking for the answer.
But if you're going to start a school like you dreamed about, you'll need more in education. When you find a place to start
your
school...
But this is the place, Papa. I'm going to start it right here.
No, never mind, child, never mind. It'll be a long time before you're ready. And maybe we won't be here. Pick a place where school's needed. Don't wait to find a fancy place. Build your school where it's needed. Dig your roots deep, and don't let them tie you up.
What? All aboard!
Say goodbye to your brothers and sisters and get aboard.
Goodbye!
Goodbye, honey. Goodbye.
Mary told them goodbye and boarded the train for schools in North Carolina, Chicago, New York. She added to her name a doctor's degree and married and became Bethune. Then, 20 years later, she rode south again to pick up her dream. The train stopped at a Florida station. Mrs. Bethune had an appointment with the real estate man.
I'm looking for Miss Bethune, the teacher she is. You seen anybody look like there's educated around here?
I'm Mrs. Bethune.
You? You the woman rode asking if I had some property for sale?
Isn't it still for sale?
Well, I don't know about selling the colored... Kind of risky.
For whom?
For you.
I came here to take that risk.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you. If you're willing to take it off my hands, I won't stop you. Now, step in my gas buggy and we'll drive you out to see it.
An ancient car bounced along the road and Realtor Wiggins drove out past the city limits and finally stopped before the land he wanted to sell. The site for the college was a garbage dump.
Is this the ground?
Ever smell an inch of it? Oh, ignore them hills of cans and stuff. There's good, solid land under them all.
I wanted something for a campus.
Now, you said you wanted property in a poor community. Well, they don't get no poor in this place. It's a natural. Now, you taking it or leaving it?
I'll have to try to take it.
Fine, fine. Now, payments will start right now, and I make my collections once a month on the first. My rule's easy. Keep out of trouble, obey the laws, don't upset no southern customs, and we get along just dandy.
She looked over the ground again, pictured the beauty underneath the grime and waste. Then she set about collecting students who were ready for it and promised them a college and led them to the site and saw their hopes fall. And they asked her,
Is this the campus you were talking about?
Ma'am, this place used to be the city dump. We can't go to school in the city dump, ma'am.
Now, listen. This is all I can do for a beginning. There's got to be a beginning somewhere. The state laws keep Negro students out of regular colleges. We'll fight to change those laws. But right now, there must be schools that can train teachers. We can clear these dumps and build a college with our own hands. It'll be different from any other college in the country, but it'll be a good one, and it'll grow. With your help, I'll direct it. Will you help?
Yes.
Then your first assignment will be to clear out the city dump.
A freshman took over the grounds and in a year leveled the land and planted grass and built a hall. And while they worked, she rode over the state on a bicycle, telling the farmers of the new school and collecting donations to pay for it. And some were short of cash.
I can't afford to part with my cash, ma'am. The only man around here who can is old Major White.
The bicycle manufacturer?
Yep, he's a right generous man if you can get him in a good mood. But if a crate of my best eggs will help you students, why, help yourself, too.
Me and my old man can't give you college money, Miss Bethune. Why don't you ask Major White, a right nice man, when it comes to giving?
I'm going to look for him, but...
Right now, all I can part with is, hey, Lester! Lester!
Yeah, boy?
Fetch up two of them speckled pigs. I'm gonna send them to college.
And she kept riding over the state on a bicycle, looking for donators to pay off her debt on the land. Until one evening she ran into one.
Hey, look out! Mister, look out!
Hey, what?
Oh. I'm so sorry.
Sorry? You saw me coming. You did it deliberately.
You were crossing the streets against the lights.
Ah, a woman driver. On a bicycle or in a Buick, women drivers are all alike. Stupid. Why do you wild women deliberately knock a man down?
Maybe it's because we want to knock some sense into your pig head.
Woman, do you know who you're calling pig-headed?
And do you know who you're calling stupid?
May I inform you that I am Major Stuart White.
And may I inform you that I am President Mary McLeod Bethune of... Your... Who?
Major White. And are you that college president who wrote me for a donation?
Well, I guess I am.
Well, I'm the last man you should want to run down and murder, woman.
I'm sorry. I suppose that ends the donation.
It'll end no such thing. I've got to donate something to get you off that bicycle before you kill every man in the state. Let me look over this college of yours.
The major looked over the Bethune Foundation and gave enough to clear away the debt. Then the dream of Farmer McLeod's daughter took life. Subjects were chosen and classes were going. But there were those who didn't like what the new college was teaching, like the friends of Realtor Wiggins, whom he brought into the president's office.
Oh, Mr. Wiggins, you wanted to see me.
Well, not me exactly. Some friends here want to have a sort of meeting with you.
Well, bring them in. There. Now, what is it, gentlemen?
Well, they want to know if you're interested in selling the property.
Yeah, let me chair this meeting, Wiggins. As soon we're willing to take the place over your hand, put it in a nice way.
That's right. We know what price you paid for it, and we'll double it.
Well, I thank you, but Mr. Wiggins must have told you why I bought it.
He didn't need to tell us. We're beginning to see why you bought it. We don't like what we're seeing.
And what we've been hearing.
What are you talking about?
These radical classes you're teaching. Teaching the good colored folks down here the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And all them un-American attitudes towards the state segregation laws.
It's the voting. You're telling the students to vote in the coming primaries. It's caused this.
Yes, we have special classes in civics. I thought they were needed.
And we've special customs concerning the colored folks voting in elections. By gum, they're needed.
Wiggins, you shouldn't have sold the land without consulting the proper authorities.
Well, now,
We're offering you a right smart price, Bethune, to pay for some of the work you put in here. Now, how soon do you think you can disband this?
Gentlemen, the land's not for sale.
You're asking for it.
If you just won't bother about the voting, we can patch this whole thing up. Now, whether people vote or not ain't no concern of a
college.
It'll
be one of the concerns of this one.
Oh, now, be reasonable.
Stop pleading with her, you fool. The proper organization's going to handle this thing better than we can. Woman, if you're educated, you'll prepare to leave here. If you've got sense, you'll keep your folks from the polls on election day.
And don't forget that, Bethune. Will you?
She won't forget it. Because when the time comes, the reminding committee will be around to refresh her memory. The meeting's over.
The meeting was over. She walked out over the green campus, fearful and perplexed, and watched the students coming and going. Then she looked back to the day when her little girl had delivered laundry to an ex-slave master and remembered the words of her father. She went back and taught in the classes and almost forgot what the men said. But before the elections, the reminding committee visited the campus. The students saw them first.
Mrs. Bethune! Mrs. Bethune!
What is it, child?
They've been on the campus.
They?
The Ku Klux Klan. They've burned crosses over the lawn. Come and look. Look.
I see. Now, control yourself. Are the other students awake?
No, ma'am. I'll
then
come in and...
you'll awaken them and bring them down on the lawn.
On the lawn?
And tell them to bring their hymn books with them. We'll sit around the crosses. We're going to have a lesson on the Bill of Rights. Hurry. There'll be enough light for them to see by. Yes. There's enough light out there to see quite a few things.
She called the classes down on the lawn and set around the fiery crosses and drove home the lesson of her life while the fire flickered.
My friends and students, this school we've built has grown almost great in the short time since we established it. Else why would tyrants and bigots be afraid of it? When I was a child, my brothers and sisters had to go ignorant and unlettered so that I could learn. And my father wondered if I would use my education in the right way. I think this is the right way, to use education to liberate mankind. And my father was practical, and we'll be practical, and help free not just ourselves, but those around us. So this week, there will be no lessons from your books. The assignment of the students in the Bethune College is to go into the homes of every man and woman who has the right to vote and to escort him to the polls. We'll lead them there this year and every year. That'll be your final examination. May you pass it.
The students made note of their assignment, went out and passed a final examination. Qualified Negro voters voted that year and in the years after, in spite of the Klansmen and the crosses. And the college grew, and its president went about the business of building it, and was too busy to answer the phone until a student said,
Mrs. Bethune.
What is it, child? Can't you see I'm busy?
I know, ma'am, but it's Washington calling.
Then take the message, take the message.
It's from the White House.
The White House?
Yes, ma'am. President Roosevelt wants to know if you'll accept the position of Assistant Director of Education for the National Youth Administration. Will you answer them?
Yes, child. I'll answer. I'll answer them.
She answered and took the job. Farmer McLeod never lived to learn whether he had picked the right one from his 17 children. The President of the United States believed that he had. And now, with a word about her vision of the future, here is Mary McLeod Bethune.
Thank you, Mr. Pinkard. I want to thank the staff of WMAQ, the players, the writers, and everyone responsible for producing this excellent and, I must say, vivid presentation. While watching this dramatization here, I thought this is the type of America for which we are working, fighting, educating. As I look forward, it is the great educators who dream of a dynamic democracy, who hold visions of nothing less than the working together of all people, regardless of race, color, or creed, for a united, democratic world. We firmly believe that education has the irresistible power to dissolve the shackles of slavery. We have seen the fear brought about by ignorance sap the sunshine out of lives and leave a deadly, doubting grayness to drape heavily about our souls and depress our spirits. The human image of the great Creator cannot come to full fruition if it is fettered in darkness. During a recent trip to Florida, I saw a massive garden of the most beautiful roses, some red, some black, some white, some pink, all growing and flowering majestically under one warm sun. As I stood transfixed by their beauty, I felt that I had been able to get around the world's static and had at last tuned in on God's meaning of brotherhood. Like the roses, men of all races, colors, and creeds must come into full bloom under God's sun. That is why we who dream of a great democracy along religious principles place our hearts, our lives, our hopes on education's great light-giving altar. We look forward.
Thank you, Mrs. Bethune.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the story of the beloved Negro educator, Mary McLeod Bethune. Brought to you by station WMAQ. It is written by Richard Durham and produced under direction of Homer Heck. Mary McLeod Bethune, who spoke to you in person at the end of the program, was impersonated in the dramatic portion by Janice Kingslow. Others were Weslin Tilden, George Kluge, Cliff Norton, Charles Mountain, Fred Pinkard, and Jess Pugh. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is John Holtman inviting you to be with us again next week at this same time, when Destination Freedom will tell the story of the first Negro in Major League Baseball, Jackie Robinson of the Brooklyn Dodgers. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.